Okay. So with Church as a Family, I think it's most appropriate to welcome Gerard and Tanya Amanda. So he's just known as Uncle G. Uncle G in the church movement. So we're a young church movement. I'm the oldest. We're the older people in the church. Helmut is a few years older than me, but we're the oldest people in the church movement. So when Uncle G came to join us, he used to lead a church in Worcester, who became part of a shofar movement, and that's how the paths merged many years ago. And Uncle G and Taramanda, I just want to say the reason why I'm so thankful that you're here with generally younger people tonight is because when you're young and you serve Jesus, we serve Jesus in ignorance because we don't know what's going to happen. And many people say, Lord, I will never forsake you. I'll always be faithful, because we're young and we're passionate and we're sincere. But looking at you, Eugene Peterson's book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, is one of my favorite ones, because the call to serve God is a life of devotion. And you've seen you walk through the fire with pain and suffering, and you joyfully continue to serve Jesus. I've seen you being selfless in caring for the least of these, taking them into your house. I've seen you in the years in humility serving younger people and loving younger people, just like Jesus. And this evening our hearts are open to receive you and to welcome you, to receive from you, because we know that the humility of Christ is inside of you. So thank you for coming to serve us tonight, Pastor G. Danke, Amanda. We welcome you. Let's just put our hands together.
Guys, we love young people, me and my wife. We're passionate about young people. And Ross, thank you for that encouraging words. You know, we just love what you are doing here in this church, and touching the community, you know, setting the standard. You know, God loves broken wing people. You know, it's just, you know, Luke 4, when he speaks about his mission, you know, just saying, hey, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, you know, to bring redemption, to preach the gospel, you know, and to get people out of prison. That's his heart. And this God is holy, and, you know, and we just love what God is doing here in your midst. So, yeah, me and my wife, as I said, we love young people. I'm a husband to that lovely lady for the past 37 years. I'm also a father to Elizabeth and to two boys, one in heaven, and the other one is married to a teacher. Both of them teachers there in Paul. And then I'm also an opa to the youngest one. He's the Kroon Prince, his name is Gerard. And the other one's name is Joy. She's 4 years old, and she is a joy. What a joy. Father God, we just thank you, God, for who you are. Jesus, thank you that you are the way. You came to show us the way to the Father. When Thomas said, show us the Father, you said, Thomas, what you see in me is who the Father is. And God, we just pray that you will reveal unto us who we are, God. Open our eyes, open our hearts, so that we can know you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So guys, I'm going to share a little bit with you, and then I'm going to ask my wife to finish off. So I'll be quick, and because when she speaks, God really touches us. So I'm just going to speak one or two things about creating a kingdom culture. The key to mental health is to be thankful in everything. Not for everything. It is to be thankful in everything. And the key to emotional health is to rejoice always. Are you guys with me? It's not on the screen. Key to emotional health is to rejoice always. And the key to heart health is to pray without ceasing. You will find this in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. So guys, those words of Paul, he says, in everything, be thankful. You want to change your life? Start a life of being thankful. You know, find something for which you can be thankful for. God, thank you for my health. Hello? Thank you for a dad. Thank you for a mom who's watching out for me. Thank you for a church like this church. Thank you, God, for friends. You know, I can see the friendships here. My son and my daughter-in-law, they came through this morning. We asked them. He said, hey, man, come and join us. And my daughter-in-law said, you know, I'll join this church anytime. I feel so at home in this church. So this is, you know, find something that you can say thank you for. Not for everything, but in everything. You know, when Paul and Silas, you know, when they were there, Acts 16, they were in jail, you know, and they went through a bad patch. But, you know, they find something to praise God. We can always praise Him. We can always lift up His name. So God's heart is to establish a kingdom culture. You know, he wants to establish kingdom culture in who we are. He wants to establish kingdom culture in His church. He wants to establish kingdom culture in our home groups, in our relationships, in our ministries. God's heart is kingdom. And let me just, you know, talk in this space of how to prepare to host the King of Kings. You know what? We see in the Bible, in the Gospels, in the beginnings of the Gospels, a man with the name of John the Baptist. In the words of Jesus, he was the greatest prophet who ever lived. He did no miracles. Are you guys still here? But he announced the coming of the kingdom. His ministry was only 6 months. But he had a huge, huge impact in Israel. He was, according to scripture, the way preparer. He came to prepare the way of the Lord. So guys, church is not a building. Church is people. Okay, touch just somebody next to you. Just feel church, okay? Church is people. When Jesus said, I will build my church, He's talking about us. Okay? The most prolific gift of the Holy Spirit is the prophetic ministry. Is the prophetic gift. Because the prophetic gift builds up, it encourages, and it comforts. And I don't know about you, but I like to be built up. I like to be encouraged. I like to be comforted. You know, and if there's one gift that you and I must aspire to, is to move in the prophetic gift. God wants His church to be prophetic. So the life mission of John the Baptist was to prepare the people to host the king. Jesus was coming. God was about to visit His church. If God is about to visit this church, how can we prepare for Him coming to visit us? So John's message and Jesus preached the same message was straightforward. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. A straightforward message. And there's two concepts there, the kingdom and to repent. So the kingdom, just in a nietedop, how do you say that in English? Thank you so much, man. The kingdom, in a nutshell, you know, is, it's all about God. It's about Him. And this God sits on the throne. And He rules and He reigns from that throne. Are you still with me? And how does He rule and reign? By His word. In heaven, God's word carries supreme authority. Guys, and I want to encourage you, give His word into your life supreme authority. When Paul speaks about spiritual warfare, he talks about the word of God as the sword of the Spirit. This was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was God-breathed. For the Greek students, theopneustos. This is the breath of God. Man, you know what? The highest manifestation of the kingdom is the King. It's about Him. The highest manifestation of the King is His word. You know, if I invite you to come and visit me, and you sit there, you know, and I'm talking all the time, you know, I don't give you opportunity to tell me about your life and the stuff that you're going through, I think that's dishonor. You know, we must listen to the King. Somebody said the other day, if you cannot hear God, well, then hear His word. You know, we must take time with the word. Oh, I wish I can speak to you about hearing his word. You know, Psalm 1 says, you know, don't mix with the wrong crowd. And then he says, you know, get into the word. Meditate on it day and night. For those who meditate on this word day and night, they will be like a tree planted next to streams of living water. You know, they will bear their fruit in season. You know, and it says, Leblare sal nie afval nie. His leaves will not wither. And what they do, they prosper in. Are you guys still with me? I know Pastor Ross preached the same message, you know. It's like, you know, we, you know what, the word must come alive in us. You know, what Jesus said, you know, it is so... Wow, there's so much life in it. One day Jesus, you know, when he started out to call his disciples, in Luke chapter 5, what happened is, you know, he was talking to them about the word of God. He was challenging their faith. He wanted them to move with him. And he was preaching. He asked Simon Peter. He said, Simon Peter, I want to use your boat as a pulpit. Those days, you know, the people were standing and the preacher was sitting. But something changed in the ages. You know, I don't know. Everything changed. And there was no sound systems and, you know, and screens and things like that. You know, but the word is still powerful. Paul said, I'm not ashamed for the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Tell your friend, you must believe. We must put faith. We must put faith in this God. And faith is trusting Him. Trusting Him. Guys, trusting Him. Running with Him. Knowing that He is a good God. Even if your circumstances is not like, you know, the best, He is still good. He is still good. You know, when I read the life of Paul in the book of Acts, and Paul is going through, you know, from prison to prison. You know, he's preaching the gospel. You know, and then there's people that believe, they say yes to Jesus, and then there's a crowd of hooligans, they don't believe in Jesus, and, you know, and there's a, a, You know, they start like a rebellion, you know, and you know, they drive Paul out of the city, sometimes into, you know, the prison. But Paul, you know, there's something that is driving him. And Paul says it is the love of Christ. Everyone must hear the gospel. There is truth in the gospel. So Jesus came to establish the kingdom. The kingdom was in him. He brought the kingdom with him. Okay, we said that his word carries supreme authority in heaven. And in heaven, he releases this word into an atmosphere of worship. Because around the throne, there's worship. And the one thing that worship will do for you and me, it will soften our hearts. And I want to encourage you guys. The most important thing for you and me to look after, to check over and over, is the condition of our hearts. I think Proverbs, is it 3:26? 4:26, thank you very much. It says, you know, guard your heart above everything else, for out of it is the springs of life. You know, our hearts is so, so important. And can I say it now? The condition of your heart will determine how far you can go with God. You remember that parable Jesus was talking about of the sower and the seed? It was the same seed. All that differs was the condition of the ground where the seed fall. You still remember it? Same seed. The same seed, you know, and the condition of the ground is your heart and my heart. You know, the condition of my heart will determine if there is growth or not. You know, when Jesus was preaching on that boat, you know, and he was preaching on the word of God, on the power of God's word. And then he said to Peter, I want you to go fishing. And Peter was like, Jesus, you don't know. We've been fishing all night. There is no fish. But on your word, we will go into the sea. And guess what? Man, they caught fish that was too much for the boat. They had, you know, they phoned their friends. They said, please come. Help us. And then at the end of Luke 5, of that part of scripture, Jesus said, you know, he said, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. You know what? If you trust me, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. There is such a power in our testimony. Such power in our testimony. You know, and we must tell our testimony. There's power in it, man. You know, I was born again, I think it was the 16th or 17th of June, 1977. Man, the greatest day of my life. Jesus came into my life. I had such an experience with God. You know, I grew up religiously. You know, my mom took me to church. My dad died when I was, you know, great, six, is that right? I died when I was in grade six. My mom took us to church, you know, then I became a teenager. I don't want to go to the church in the evening, so, you know, I ripped my pants, you know, open, so that I had to stay at home. I didn't want to go to church in the evenings. But you know what? God, in his grace, he came through for me. And I was born again. And Jesus said, if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And if you're not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, we need the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Bible says, you know, that no one can say that Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. It is only by His Holy Spirit that we can bend our knees before this God and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be the highest authority in my life. I give my life to you, Jesus. I surrender to you. You are my boss. You can give the commandments, and I will follow you. So John spoke about the kingdom. You know, it's not about us, it's about him. It's doing what he wants us to do. And that word repentance, think about this thing. Because, you know, this needs to be upgraded. Who of you knows that? Every now and then I see there's a news article that says, you know, the following phones won't be able to do WhatsApp anymore. So you need to get a new phone if you want, you know, to continue with WhatsApp. A few years ago they said, we're going to 5G. We're going next level. And if you want to go next level, you need a phone that can do 5Gs. Okay, all the tech junkies, you understand what I'm saying. You know, you need to upgrade this thing. You know, otherwise you can't experience everything that this thing is doing. And repentance is to upgrade our minds and our thinking patterns to align. That's you must remember, upgrade and align. To align with the mind, with the will, with the purposes of God. That's what that word metanoia means. Meta means change. Okay? For the Greek students. And noia comes from the Greek word nous, your mind. So our minds needs to upgrade and our minds needs to align. Okay. Let me just say it in other words for the guys who are not tech junkies. Jesus said, you know, God wants to pour out new wine. And Jesus said, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. Because if you pour new wine into an old wineskin, what will happen to the old wineskin? It will burst. You know, God wants to work by His Spirit, but our minds and our thinking patterns about what He wants to do needs to be upgraded. When Jesus poured out His Spirit in Acts chapter 2, you know, and they prayed together, because Acts chapter 2 said they were all together in one place, in one accord. You know what? And then God poured out His Spirit. There was such unity between them. But when you go to Acts chapter 1, you will see that Jesus talked to His disciples for 40 days about the kingdom of God. Guys, we need to upgrade our mind. We need to renew our mind. That's what Colossians says. Renew your mind. Sometimes, you know, our mind is the biggest stumbling block of what God wants to do. Are you guys still with me? Praat ek moet ek met Afrikaans praat? Our minds need to be renewed. And our minds are renewed when we get our noses into the sword of the Spirit. Our minds are renewed when we say, God, come and work in me. Our minds are renewed when there is a hunger and the thirst in our hearts for God. God, I want more of you. I know there's more. I know there's more. I studied theology long ago, and, you know, it was It was in a traditional church, doing the Greek and the Hebrew, doing the theology thing. Nothing wrong with those things. And yes, thank you, Jesus. And I remember we were at the Stranddienst camp. Enige iemand hier wat al Stranddienst kampe gedoen het? Yes, hallelujah. Prys die Here. Wanhuiskraans. And I remember we were sitting there and I said, okay, the guy said, okay, we are here to win young people for Jesus. And I remember sitting on those stairs, and we pray, and I know, man, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, And I remember sitting on those stairs, and the next thing I hear was the Bible that says, repent and be baptized and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was like, Satan, go away. And in those time, the Spirit of God, just talked to me, spoke to me. And it was 6 months later. Sorry, guys, for the long delay. Sorry, God. But it took me 6 months to do what he spoke to me that day on the stairs. That was one of the biggest steps of faith in my life. I had the bursary from the traditional church. They said, we will pay for everything. But it had one condition. And I couldn't keep to that one condition. Stepping out. And today, there's no regret in my heart. What I experienced of him. Going to India, is Carolyn still here? We were five guys on a mission. She was the only lady. And then when we came to the villages, they were thinking, what is, is this girl and the five guys? And they came to talk to the team leader. And we said, no, it's my daughter, we need to cover her. But you know what? Going places, experience stuff in Jesus, experience his presence, experience that he really, really loves us, that God wants to work deep in our hearts, So I just want to encourage you, go with him, follow what he is speaking in your heart, Upgrade continually, align continually. So at this point, I'm gonna give over to my wife, and then she gonna finish off. Thank you. This is my bride for 37 years. She told me this week I owe her a ruby ring because. We've been boyfriend and girlfriend for 40 years.
Yesterday, 40 years. He owes me. Oh, what a pleasure, what a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be with you, especially if I look over the people, I see the young generation. And we love the young generation. Because it is you who the Lord going to use in his kingdom. So I hope you are ready for what God has in store for you. Because you're going to move things what our generation won't be able to do. But you will be able to do. You will reach people. You will reach nations. You will move in his spirit. Which we're not be able to do. And I'm excited within 10 years' time. And to think 10 years is a long time? No, it is not. It goes by very quickly. So I'm very excited to meet with you in 10 years' time, 5 years' time maybe, and to hear how the Lord is going to use you. Not one of you who are sitting here is not valued enough to be used in His kingdom. All of you are here for a reason. You are valued. And that's why I say it's such a privilege. God is a God of generations. Sometimes if my family are, when we are having holidays together, we are up to 6 generations together. The youngest 2 years old, like you heard from the Crown Prince, up to my and Uncle Gerard's mom's, they are 86, 88 years old. Still serving the Lord after many trials and tribulations, but they're serving the Lord. And we have much to learn from them. But I want to be quickly, if I share with you a scripture, and it is not like a sermon I want to deliver, I actually want to urge you to put yourself in this person from the Bible in his situation. So I want you to follow me, because yesterday when I went for a walk, it was such a lovely day outside there in Paul. Luckily, we got a mountain who stops the wind, seems to me, because there's much wind there in Paul, is not that much wind. So I had a nice walk outside yesterday, and the Lord dropped the scripture in me. I said, no, Lord, it's not what I prepared for this people, he said, but this is what you're going to share with them. So please follow me. From Judges, Richters 6. Do you know of whom we're going to learn from? From whose life we're going to learn from tonight? And it is from the life of Gideon. Now you know Gideon, but please pay attention quickly. Listen what their circumstances were. Sometimes we are discouraged by our circumstances, but listen in what condition their nation were at that stage. The Lord gave them, he commissioned them, his people, Israel, to follow him, to tell from generation to generation how he led them out from Egypt, how he spared their lives, and that he is a living God. Now, I don't know what is happening sometimes in our hearts, but that was not what happened, because the state where they found themselves in was in a terrible state where the Midianites were behind them. The Midianites will come into the land, and they took everything from them. They were in poverty. They had nothing. And it is not that they were serving the Lord with all their heart at that stage. No, they built themselves idols so that they were that idol worshiping in their land. So it's not a good place to be. And this is where Gideon came in. Gideon worked for his father. Gideon was, interesting, it caught my eye when I read it. He was working in the wine press, busy with wheat in a wine press. But it's because he tried to spare their crop, their wheat, from the enemy. And he was actually working for his family, for his dad. Now, if you are in such circumstances, you do it with a much awareness of what is going around. So while he's busy, he will look all around when his Midianites coming, because they used to come and they just take over. So he wants to preserve what they've got as a family. And the next moment, God sent an angel. Put yourself now in the position of Gideon, working there, and suddenly an angel appeared to him. And the angel said to him, I just want to open my notes here. I had my Bible open here. So that I can just follow my notes quickly as I'm sharing this to you. And verse 12 says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, and this is for you, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And then at that moment, I believe he was very much surprised when he heard that. And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why all these things happened to us? I'm not going to read every single word according to it. But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So at that stage, Gideon felt that the Lord forsaken them. Now, whom of you felt that the Lord forsaken you? Don't have to put up your hands. But sometimes some circumstances come and then you feel the Lord forget about me. He's not aware of me anymore. Look what that one have and look at that one and look at, yeah, they're doing good, but look at me. The Lord is not with me anymore. And this is how he felt. And then the Lord turned to him in verse 14 and said, go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the enemy. So you just think you came to church tonight to have a good service, just to begin your week on a good note. Now you hear to hear that you generation sitting in front of me, all you beautiful, beautiful people, I wish I could have time with you to hear your stories. But the Lord said, it's you who's going to save my people. It's you. So you must be up and ready. For the Lord is calling you tonight and say, it's you. I need you. I need you with the young people. I need you in the nations. I need you with your families. I need you because I need you. That my people must come back to me. And guess what Gideon said? I don't know, what would you answer? I think I'm going to get a few different answers here. But Gideon said, surely not me. No, I'm too small. My family is a small little family. We're not a family. Ons is nie 'n familie van ons nie. It can't be me. It can't be, I'm the youngest, the smallest from my family. He's actually poor because I only got what they had. And he's trying to protect those wheat, what is working. So Lord, no, it's not me. So they had this discussion. And he's not the first one who said, surely not me. I know I've been many times in situations and then I will say, nee, definitely not. And then the Lord will tell me, but you go. I can't go and talk to her. No, what must I say to her? And I can't pray for them to get healed. Look to what happened in my life. For if I'm praying for them to be healed, who say that you are going to heal them? No, Lord. So we have all those arguments ready. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the enemy as one man. You know what? I'm feeling actually honored. Can you sense the importance tonight when the Lord says, generation, and he's walking from chair to chair, and I don't want to overemphasize, but this is what the Lord is telling you tonight. He's saying, I'm with you. I didn't forget about you. You're not just a somebody. I value you. I need you. And at that stage, Gideon realized it's not an angel anymore. He's now talking to God. And he He was actually clever. Maybe I would do that the same. He said, but may I just ask for a sign? And we know when he asked for signs, he put out the skin of the animal. Now, that was not the first time. That was a second time when he asked for signs. The first time when he encountered with God, he asked for this sign. He said, okay, Lord, I want to go and prepare a sacrifice. Can I ask you for a sign? Will you wait? If you are truly God, will you wait for me here under the tree? I will go and prepare. And if I come back and you're still here, I know you are God. And this is what happened. And if we're talking about a sacrifice in the Old Testament, I really... the fear of the Lord comes over me because we don't understand the term that much as I did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, I had to go and prepare a sacrifice. We much easier with a sacrifice these days. We think we take it too easily. I think we do. Because now God is interested in our hearts. He's not interested in the things we bring as much as in the condition, like Gerard said, of our hearts. And Gideon went and he prepared his sacrifice, which was a goat. Maybe it is all what he had. Remember, there were no livestock on the fields. The enemy took it. There were nothing, but at least he got flour and he baked bread and he prepared. And there's something in Gideon's character I want to mention, which is not in the Bible. Can you think how long it would take him to prepare a sacrifice? Not only an hour. I don't believe it was an easy task. He took... they said it's an ephah pot of meal. Now, I'm telling you, it's quite a lot of flour. I don't know how many breads he baked, but I believe it's quite a lot. Now, for me to bake a bread, just to think of all the dishes, oh, it's good hard work. But at least he prepared, baked the bread. He prepared the goat by slaughtering it, and seems to me the meat, he cooked the bones, he got it ready, because I spoke there, he put the broth in a container, he put it all together. Guess what? The moment when he got at the tree, who was waiting there for him? The Lord. And the Lord is standing with each one of us tonight, and he's telling us, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Now, Lord, I've got too much hurt in my life. I can't come now. I'm busy. I'm busy studying, or I'm busy building a career. I don't know what your excuses will be, but the Lord is waiting for you. He's waiting for you because he needs you. He needs a Gideon. And then he had a beautiful encounter there while he came there. He took out his sacrifice, which he's going to offer. He put it on the rock, and something supernatural happened at that stage. The angel took his staff, he touched it, and out of the rock the fire came. And fire is a symbol of God is making, he cleans everything. And everything disappeared. God consumed the sacrifice, which is beautiful. He said, what he actually wants to say is, I loved what you did. You know what, Gideon? You diligently prepared that sacrifice. You were committed to go and put in some effort and bring that sacrifice. If a sacrifice is acceptable unto God, it's a beautiful thing. If our hearts are upright before God, it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful sacrifice we can bring unto God. And you can go and read Psalm 51 is actually a beautiful example of our heart's condition and bringing a sacrifice unto God. And there they had their encounters there, and the Lord said to him, and I want to emphasize on verse 22. Now Gideon perceived that he was that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon once again realized, I'm encountering with the living God. I'm asking you and I'm asking myself, how many times we had encounters with God and our lives didn't change according to God's word. What Gerard said, we must transformed our lives and renewed our lives and take out all the things that does not belong there out of our hearts so that we have an acceptable sacrifice unto God. And that encounter changed his life. And isn't it beautiful that in the Old Testament, many times when the people had an encounter with God, they named that place. They give it a name. And usually it's a name that describes the character of God. And I don't have the time to refer back to some examples. But this place, when the Lord said to him, Gideon, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. And he called that place, the Lord is peace. Until this day, that place of encounter exists. That physical place of encounter according to the word. Can you see from the one pointy move from I'm not valuable, I'm too small, I'm not from the right family, I can't do what you expect from me, to a place of fear, because I lived in fear every day, and he was so fearful that he could die, to a place of peace. And a place of peace is a beautiful place to be, and you can only find your peace with Jesus. Nothing, no idol, no degree, no salary, no income, not even my home, not even my children. Doesn't matter how much I enjoy my grandchildren, Aunt Elizabeth, and my family. Nothing can give me the peace that only God can give me. And I believe God wants to encounter with us tonight. So I'm going to ask for music. Who's the musician here? Just soft, quiet music. I don't want you to have an encounter with God tonight and walk here out the same as that we came in here. When I read this scripture, I said, Lord, is it truly in the Bible? And I see all your beautiful young men and your beautiful young ladies in front of me. And the Lord says, we need to deal with a few things tonight so that we can surely understand what kingdom is and what Gerard said earlier. So it's not between you and me. It's not a business deal between you and me, nothing. But it's between you and the Lord, and I want to give you those few moments so that you can spend time with Him. But what stands out for me was a bad condition God's people were in. I don't know in what circumstances you are. Maybe you sit what I experienced in my heart here, some of you are sitting with a lot of rejection and you had to deal with it all of your life. But the Lord says He wants to make you free from those rejection. He wants to come to you tonight and He wants to stand in front of you and He wants to tell you, after my encounter with you tonight, those rejection have no place. because I'm your father. Maybe it's rejection from your father. Maybe it's a difficult childhood. I don't know. You know. You know what's coming up in your heart. And the other thing, and I especially experienced it, is the thing of fear. I don't know what you fear, but deal with that fear. I remember this morning I said very quickly, I just mentioned it, and I want to mention it again. When our son had a terrible illness and he was on his way to the Lord, I remembered I had so much fear in my heart. I can't tell you what that fear did in me. It took even the physical breath out of my lungs because I had fear. And I remember one night I said to the Lord, Lord, tonight I'm not going to sleep because I must deal with this fear. This fear in my heart is bigger than that you are. And I can't walk the road. I can't walk the path which I would go without you. This fear in my heart. The fear was like an idol. It was something I could refer to. It describes all my emotion. It described my mental health, the state of my mind at that stage. If you're dealing with fear, maybe in a smaller amount, I don't know. But don't walk out with fear. And if you need to persevere through certain circumstances, it's a third thing. Don't you want to come and just commit your life again to Jesus? Not that you're not committed. If you have to do it for the first time, will you please come so that we can diligently serve the Lord? We are His disciples. And the people must see that we are different. And how can we be different if we are carrying all this heavy stuff from the world in our hearts? If you have to deal with anything, can I ask you that we close our eyes? I'm going to ask Gerard, Tian, you're welcome, Danny, to take over here. You're so welcome. Leaders, you're welcome. But I would just want you to encounter with God. If you say, I'm okay, it's okay. But have an encounter. We've got a few minutes to have an encounter with God. And just deal with Him. Whatever fear you have.